Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
All right, folks, grab your rubber boots and make sure that boat is big enough because Massachusetts is entering great white shark season.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine. It's really a miracle of evolution. All this machine does is swim and eat and make little sharks, and that's all.
Do I really even need to tell you what that was? Richard Dreyfuss there in an iconic scene from the movie Jaws. So far, more than a dozen great whites have been spotted off the coast of Cape Cod, and the season hasn't even started for real yet. So here to talk more about what we can expect this season is our resident sharkspert, Greg Skomel, a shark biologist with the Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries. Greg, it is always great to have you. Welcome back.
Hi, Tiziana. How are you?
I'm well, and how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. It's good to be back.
This is sort of like Christmas for postal carriers for you, right? It's your busiest season.
Yeah, we're starting to get into it. It's the time of year when we initiate our intensive shark research schedule. So it's starting to ramp up.
All right. So you heard the clip we played at the top, and we'll talk a little bit later about the eye rolling that we often get from shark experts and shark advocates when we use Jaws. But for now, is that right? Perfect engine, eating machine, miracle of evolution, swims, eats, makes little sharks, and that's it?
Yeah, I guess if you really do boil it down to one sound clip, that summarizes it. I think Matt Hooper nailed it in that one.
Why do you love sharks?
Well, I'm fascinated by them. I have been since I was a child. You know, a lot of kids like sharks and dinosaurs, and I'm just one of those people that never outgrew that interest.
Okay, so everybody has their favorite dinosaur, right? Although mine has changed over the years. When I was a little kid, I wasn't that original. It was just T-Rex. But why the great white? What makes it special? What makes it fascinating? What makes it capture our imagination?
Well, I'm infatuated with a lot of different shark species, you know, and I'm still involved in research projects on a number of kinds of sharks, but you know, white sharks have become really dominated my interest over the last several years because of their preponderance off our coastline and their seemingly growing numbers as they approach closer to shore. You know, they're an amazing top predator. You know, really a well-honed evolutionary success. And I think it's their size, their shape, their form, and the fact that, you know, albeit it's quite rare, they are known to bite people. And I think that draws a lot of fascination.
Well, you know, you use the word preponderance, you know, off our coastline. You said they're seemingly growing numbers. And this is why we have engaged with you every year around this season, Greg, to talk about sharks, both to educate people and to make us aware of the situation we're in. I want to cue in on a couple of things. We've already seen a dozen sightings off of the Cape Cod area, earlier sightings landing in May. You said seemingly growing numbers. So are there more sharks, or does it just seem like there are more sharks?
Well, it depends in what context we're talking. If we're talking about the population in general, you know, and the population spans the entire eastern seaboard of the U.S. and Canada, we think, based on the best available data, that the population is rebounding from very high levels of exploitation that occurred, you know, in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. And so the population is coming back after some levels of protection were put in place back in the late 90s. When we talk on a more local scale, you know, we're talking about, you know, the coastline of Massachusetts. You know, there has been an increase in the number of white sharks approaching our shoreline over the span of the last decade or so. You know, how those numbers are changing from year to year are really difficult to quantify, you know, because it's a dynamic population. But we do know over the course of the last decade or so, more white sharks are approaching our shorelines and therefore are being seen each year. And they're doing so because of the changing seal population and the fact that they're coming closer to shore to feed on seals. And so we really have to put it into a quantitative context. It's really a difficult question for us to answer, but it depends on the scale of the answer.
And it's in part because of a successful, conservation story, Greg, right around those seals, where those populations have really, I don't know if exploded is the right word, but grown again after very intentional conservation measures.
Exactly right. And seal populations were driven, to the brink of extinction. And in 1972, we passed the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which has included seals, but also, whales and dolphins, porpoises, et cetera. So as a result of now 50 years of protection, seal populations are rebounding here off the northeastern United States and Canada. And so, you bring back a prey species like seals, you're going to attract the predator. And the predator in our case is the white shark.
How safe are people on beaches?
If we look at just the statistics, and, that's what we do, whether we're assessing risk of being hurt in a car or whether we're assessing risk of being hurt by an animal, the incidence of shark attack is extremely low on a relative scale. And so one would conclude that the probability of being bitten by a shark is therefore extremely low. And it is, from a statistical point of view, there are far more things, and we've all heard and discussed the analogies from lightning strikes to car accidents. The probability of being hurt by a shark is very, very, very low. But I would want to also qualify that there are locations in Massachusetts where white sharks are feeding on seals, through a natural predator-prey relationship, very, very close to shore. And in those areas, and this is in particular along the outer Cape, so the eastern shoreline of Cape Cod, where this predator-prey relationship is unfolding every day, those are areas where one might want to consider the risk being a little bit higher than in other parts of Massachusetts.
All right. So we are seeing sharks early this year. When is shark season, quote unquote? And what do you make of the fact that we're having earlier sightings?
Well, I think the whole concept of earlier sightings is kind of a media-made event, and that's kind of what the media does, with all due respect.
Fair enough.
Even the dozen sightings that you are talking about, it, I'm unaware of. We've had a couple of incidents where white sharks have been seen by folks on the shoreline, which is exactly what we anticipate this time of year. So all too often we use these sightings and they explode in the media and they snowball. But what we're seeing this year is really no different from what we've seen in previous years. White sharks begin to enter Massachusetts waters in May. The month of June tends to slowly ramp up. And then depending on how fast water temperatures warm. So the whole event is driven, the arrival of sharks and their departure is driven by warming and cooling water temperatures. And so it really boils down to the, temperatures and how they're changing over the course of the spring and the fall.
And does that feed then into larger questions about warming temperatures in the ocean and climate change as well, Greg?
No, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We don't think it's going to dramatically change the distribution of white sharks, but we do see climate change impacting their arrival times, their residency periods, and their departure times. As things warm up more quickly, white sharks are likely to arrive earlier. And once the season is over and we can look at our tagged animals, which are close to 300, right? And we can see when they arrive, where they spend their time, and when they leave, we can begin to answer questions about whether this season, 2022, is different from other seasons. But right now, we don't have those data in hand and won't until the end of the season.
So that dozen shark number came from reporting from NBC 10 Boston. And one of the things that's interesting to me is this Sharktivity app, which I have looked at. We've talked about it before. So cool. And it's a little bit of citizen science, too. It allows you to begin to crowdsource information about sightings. Tell us about the Sharktivity app.
Yes, the Sharktivity app is a wonderful outreach tool that the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy built years ago, and it's free to the public. It's obviously an app, and it's a great way for folks to learn about white sharks, to see where white sharks occur, and to also report white shark sightings as well. So it's a wonderful, you know, like I said, educational tool. But what I want to do is caution people is just because you don't see a white shark reported in a specific area, particularly along the Outer Keep, doesn't mean that they're not there. You know, so I'm a little hesitant to recommend it as for folks using it for a public safety tool. It really is a wonderful educational tool. And as you said, a wonderful way for the public to get involved in these kinds, in white shark sightings and learning about this species.
So duly noted, and we'll underscore that public education, public information tool, not the same thing as a public safety tool. Also, you added an extra dimension with Sharktivity this year, as I understand it, which is a confirmation or scientific review of the reportings. Can you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually something that's been going on a few years. It's something we try to do with every sighting. Is to confirm, you know, whether or not it is indeed a white shark that has been sighted. And who's doing that is my colleague, John Chisholm, who worked for me with the State Division of Marine Fisheries for many, many, many years and is retired, but has been doing this fact-checking in terms of identifying whether these are white sharks or ocean sunfish or basking sharks or, you know, floating debris. And he does a great job, and he's really excellent. And so it's to make sure that the information going out to the public through Sharktivity is validated to be true as best we can.
Meanwhile, you've got ongoing research where you are tagging sharks that you can reach, that come close to shore, that you can reach, and tracking them over time. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, back in 2009, actually in 2004, we tagged our first white shark. But in 2009, it really became more easier to tag white sharks because of their, you know, again, this really growing numbers off the Cape as they come close to shore. And we use a variety of technologies depending on the question being asked. And what we're doing over the course of the last couple of years is really looking at the behavior of white sharks over much finer scales. We're super interested in what drives their behavior close to shore, and specifically this predator-prey relationship they have with seals. You know, obviously folks have public safety on the mind, and I don't blame them. You know, we had a fatal shark attack in 2018, and that's really gotten us thinking about how do we better understand their behavior close to shore, and how do we reduce the risk of shark attack? And so we're studying their really fine scale behavior using a couple of different tag technologies now.
So I want to do honor to the criticisms over time from shark advocates about the role JAWS has played. We use the JAWS quote at the top of the segment. There's a lot positive about sharks, and we have some misconceptions. My sense from you is have a healthy respect, but don't revile these great whites, Greg.
Yeah, you're spot on with that. Absolutely. You know, this is a top predator in the ocean. You know, the ocean is a mix of species with a very complex food web. And think of the white shark and sharks in general as being those top predators fulfilling a critical role to maintain equilibrium or balance within our ocean ecosystem. And so, yes, they're scary creatures sometimes, you know, and JAWS absolutely exploded that concept and exploited it like Hollywood tends to do. But remember and educate yourself that these are, you know, another group of species in the ocean that we need. You know, we need our multiple, what we call trophic levels, from the very tiniest of ocean organisms that support the ecosystem to the big ones that cull the ecosystem. And so sharks are to be revered, respected, and understood better.
All right. That is Greg Skomel, shark biologist with the Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Tiziana. Nice to talk to you again.
Thanks.